The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch with Jesse and Tausch live at Zimbrick Chevrolet on
in
Main
Sun
Street
Prairie.
Sun Prairie.
The name you can trust, by the way. Jason, if you had to, so they have a great general manager out here, Dakota, and he's dressed up in a hot dog costume. Would you rather be a hot dog or there's hot dogs too.
He's got a hot dog costume.
Hot dog or a brat costume. If we said, Jason, to support us, I know you couldn't make it down to Sun Prairie today, we're sending you a big, beautiful costume. Which one are you putting on? And we know you love costumes. We've seen that.
I was
that.
Just going to say, you'd make this sound like this would be a hardship for me. I'd be happy to do it. Okay. Whatever you send, I'm fine with.
You'd be good.
Yeah, I was thinking about Ted Lasso, though, for Halloween.
All right.
Got the hoodie. I just need a fake mustache. I should be
because you're going to Avondale of Stratford. So you want to be, and that's where Ted Lasso's from, right?
Yes, not until July 5th, though.
Stratford upon
Avon. I know, but you're promoting
Avondale
your trip.
Roofing
that,
is another part of
it's Stratford,
yeah, Wisconsin.
Is it not
Edinburgh.
Stratford of Avondale? Oh.
No.
Edinburgh.
time now for our prize picks of the week.
Oh, yeah. Should probably go quick on this with Domovsky waiting, huh?
Can you mix a brewer or two in?
Sure. Jordan Love, more or less 240.5 passing yards.
More. I think it can be a big boy day for J Love. And I think we're going to see, you know, his MVP odds have dipped a little bit, obviously, with the last two, even though he played fantastic against the Cowboys. I think he's going to have a day. And Cincinnati is not going to have a ton of resistance. Now, the caveat to that, and Jason won't report it because he doesn't know it yet, but I do need to know where we're at offensive line-wise, because I think if you're talking about no Zach Tom and no Shido, I think there'll be less Paso if that's the case. Oh.
So less yardos would be my predictional. Next.
You're going less on that, huh?
I am.
That makes me think Jason knows something. And I know he's not going to report it.
I don't know.
I know you do.
No Brewers projections up on Prize Picks yet.
Okay. Well, we don't know who's pitching.
Yep. Josh Jacobs, more or less, 79.5 rushing yards.
Less. I think it could be an aerial assault game.
More. I think that's going to be a ground game.
What the heck? Jamar Chase, more or less than 6 receptions. He's only had more than 6 once this year.
Less.
Two.
Keyshawn will nix that opportunity, and I think it's going to be less than 6.
Sounds like a headline preview to me. I'm going to say more because now he's got Joe Flacco slinging it to him.
Brandon McManus and Evan McPherson, more or less than 3.5 combined made field goals.
Well, I don't even think old boy's going to kick,
well,
so I'm going to go less.
That's part of the intriguing option here. Yeah.
And I heard it both ways. It's McPherson, right?
Not again.
It's an McPherson. Oh, you can laugh a little bit, Jay Bird. Huh?
The McManus, or McManus, I guess I'd mispronounce it as, in 2022, he had the same injury. It cropped up on Wednesday. You can read about this at channel3000.com. Cropped up on Wednesday, just like it did this week. He did not kick the rest of the week. Then he kicked on Sunday. He was playing for the Broncos. They were playing the Ravens. He kicked 2 50-yard field goals and a 41-yarder. And then they trotted him out there on the final play of the game to try a 63-yarder to win the game. It did come up short. They lost 10-9. But the fact that he went out there and tried a 63-yarder, he feels like he'll be able to play if he rests it properly. So I think he will kick. But 3.5 combined made field goals is that'd be a lot for McPherson, McManus, McMerson. I'm going to go less on that.
So I don't like any of the other things you disagreed on, but to go along with what we were doing yesterday, if we do a McDavid, McManus, McPherson, maybe
what about
get
McGregor?
One more in there.
What do you got him for?
A little McPrize Picks weekend, I think, is in store. I'll check out if we got one more on the board for that. But that's our Prize Picks of the week.
Tausch, tell us about Prize Picks and how good it feels to be right.
Well, yeah, the baseball playoffs. It is the best time of the year sports-wise. NHL hockey kicked off. The NBA season is right here. You can do some preseason projections if you wish. And, of course, the NFL. You have it all and simple to play. Make your picks in less than 60 seconds. Turn your takes into cash all season long on PrizePicks. You heard, I think Jordan Love's going to have a big day. I also think Romeo Doubs going to have a big day. We didn't project that one, but those are going to be two of my projections. Jump on. If you feel really strong, you can pick the same player up to three times. We call that stacks. McStack it. Same player up to three times in the same lineup. You want to go with Giannis, and you want to go with McDavid, and you want to go with Dreisaitl, and you want to go with Golden. You have it all. And no matter what your play, PrizePicks is a great way to put your takes to the test. PrizePicks puts their users first, so all withdrawals, they're fast, safe, and secure. They use Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick and easy deposits into your account this football season. Join millions of users. Sign up for America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Download the PrizePicks app, use the code WI, and you get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that is code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. PrizePicks, it's good
to be right.
I found our guy, Mackenzie McGill, running back for North Texas against South Florida tonight. Add him to the stack. Mackenzie
McGill. It's a
lot
of mix. A lot of mix.
Robert McDomovsky joins us next. It's Will Dean Tausch. Time for the guy that'll get Mark Tauscher the answers he demands. It ain't me. It's from ESPN, Rob Domofsky. Rob, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, guys?
Who's going to play on the offensive line this week?
Oh, great question, Jason.
So my assumption is that both Tom and Banks play, and that leaves Jordan Morgan without a seat until Rasheed
long
Walker. Rasheed Walker had an injury. I think we see Jordan Morgan at left tackle. Now, here's what I would like to know and wonder. Were they thinking about finding a place for Jordan Morgan anyway when those two guys came back? Now, would that place have been right guard instead of Sean Ryan potentially, or was it going to be left tackle instead of Walker? But I think the injury, as often happens, sort of sorts this thing out. I would assume, and we'll find out in a little bit about Walker if he's practicing today, but he didn't practice yesterday. So I'm guessing it's going to be Jordan Morgan at left tackle.
Rob, Jason had mentioned earlier this week when you guys talked to Banks, he said something semi-cryptic about if the coaches – Jason, can you fill me in again on the exact verbiage? But it made it sound as if maybe Jordan Morgan would be kind of rep-sharing with Banks if there wasn't this injury potential of him playing left tackle. So, Jason, what was that again?
I'm trying to make the most of the snaps that I'm getting in practice.
That's cryptic-y to me.
It's a weird thing to say if you're the starter.
It is. Yeah, no doubt. It definitely is. I wonder if they're if it is like they're thinking about a rotation there. From what people have told me in evaluating the film that know more about offensive line play than I do, they sort of wondered if it might be Sean Ryan whose play is maybe not as good as what they would have liked. So maybe they would that if there was going to be a rotation, it would be there. I guess that Banks thing is I didn't read it quite that way until you said it, but yeah, that could be.
Well, Rob, just briefly, if I may.
Yeah.
The Zach Tom piece of this, like I talked to him on Monday. He did not talk to us yesterday, and he did not talk to us on Wednesday. I'm sure you and I will both be waiting for him at his locker today when the locker room opens. But he had said that he wanted to crash into some defensive ends on Wednesday to see how it went, because he didn't do that before Cleveland.
Yeah.
And then it was like, whoa, that really hurts on the one play that Myles Garrett hit him on. Like, if he's not ready and you're going into a game, I don't care how crummy this defense is, without either of your starting tackles, that kind of levels the playing field against a not nearly as good team, right?
No question. Yeah, no doubt. And that's the thing with Zach Tom is that, you know, he told us, well, and LaFleur said, well, we couldn't simulate what he was going to feel in the game. Well, maybe you should have, you know, like, and, you know, we'll see if they did that this week, and if so, how he felt. But, you know, look, I mean, I'm trying to remember if they were in pads the week of the Cleveland game on Wednesday or Thursday. They were. I'm almost sure they were. And they went in pads this week on Wednesday as well. And as you guys know, there's only one padded practice per week allowed. And in fact, if over the course of the season, it's actually less than one. It's like 13 padded practices.
Well, I bet I'd be walking better if we only had one back then.
Continue. Is that right?
Yes, I do believe so. Continue.
Yeah. No. So, yeah, that's the Jason. You're right. That's the big question, and we don't have the answer to that at this point.
So, Rob, the when you're talking to your cats up there about evaluating, the sense I get is there's not a ton of positivity about Aaron Banks up to this point. I mean, I know we're not going to get into money because it doesn't matter how much guys get paid.
Oh. That's right.
Aaron Banks, doesn't matter if he's making $400,000 or $25 million. None of that matters. But he has
I
not finished.
On my side.
He has no. I disagree vehemently with you. But the fact that he hasn't finished a game, and you know there was that cryptic little message that he sent. Where are your folks on how Banks has fit in and been with this Packer football team so far in his tenure?
Yeah, I think the problem, Tausch, is that they haven't seen enough to make a real evaluation. Like that's the biggest issue right now. Is that there's just not enough snaps and not enough reps to figure out if this guy actually is an upgrade and can do, you know, he was supposed to be this incredible run blocker, right? Like,
yep.
Well, their run game has not been great up until, you know, probably the second half of the Dallas game when they finally started to pop a few. So I think that's where the disappointment and frustration lies with the Aaron Banks thing is that they're still not sure if he was worth the money or not worth the money or whatever. But, like, in all seriousness, like, he hasn't played enough snaps. Like, I mean, you know, you look at and I know it's a cliche or whatever, but, like, the best offensive lines are the ones that play together.
Yep.
Well, Zach Tom has played 11.75% of their snaps this season. Aaron Banks has played 27.6% of their snaps this season. Like, that's not good enough. You know, that's not enough. So they need to get those guys on the field before we can even actually make some real evaluations of them.
Now, what did you make of the McManus situation? And Jason kind of feels as if because he's had this happen to him before, he'll be kicking Sunday. Is that your vibe as well?
That is. My question though is he going to kick today? Like their normal kicking days are Wednesday and Friday, so he wasn't going to kick yesterday anyway. And he said, and maybe you covered this, Jason, but he said that he was still undecided about whether he would kick today on Friday. Or just, you know, wait till pregame warmups. When he did it in 2000, was it 22? He said he didn't kick the rest of the week and just kicked on Sunday leading up to the game. So, like, it would not surprise me at all if they sign either Greg Joseph or Lucas Haversink, I believe is how you say it, who are both working out today. You know, they could easily sign one of those guys to the practice squad today, elevate them tomorrow, and have two kickers up on game day if, you know, as an emergency situation. But my suspicion is that he'll kick. I mean, I don't know if you talked about the line about where Matt LaFleur said it was a major concern. And I thought this was very funny yesterday that when we asked McManus about that, he said, well, he didn't talk to me. And his thesaurus must be different than mine. He must have his own. I believe the exact quote is he must have his own thesaurus encyclopedia to describe injuries. So, you know, that I thought was a little bit interesting. I don't know why LaFleur called it a major concern other than, yeah, maybe he is concerned about any time a specialist that we only have one of on the roster has an injury.
And, well, maybe if he talked after practice, he would have been talking to us after talking to his kicker and would have known that it's not quite as major of a concern. And then I'd get to attend once in a while, but I'm sure he's not disappointed about that.
That's the true root of the issue here.
Indeed.
He talked in the morning during the 9 to 12 window.
Yeah. Rob, I am curious, though, as you pointed out, he did kick, and we just went over what he did in that game for the Broncos. Yeah. I mean, they trotted him out there to try a 63-yarder at the end. So, yeah. Yeah. You know, he clearly felt good about that. If he know, we yeah. heard Rich Bisaccia tell us yesterday they're leaning on him and his experience. But be honest, you want them to sign Greg Joseph so you can hear Greg Joseph say, Greg Joseph has to focus on Greg Joseph.
It's only competing against Greg Joseph. That's it.
Third person. Hey, speaking of guys that are interesting to talk to, you did a piece today on ESPN.com about Romeo Doubs. And
in which I barely quoted him.
No. He's an interesting guy to talk to, sometimes a challenging guy to talk to. But you took the focus of, you know, what it might mean for him in terms of his future with this team. Yeah. How do you view that, and how do you think things may have changed from a year ago? When I wrote my story last week, it was because the timing of it was week five a year ago was when he decided not to come to work, right? And now week five was the bye last week. How do you view his future and what the uncertainty has either increased or decreased of him still being a Packer?
Yeah, I mean, Jason, I think going into the offseason and even going into this season, I thought there was a very small chance that he would play here after the 2025 season. Now I think it's still probably less than 50-50, but I think there is an increased possibility that he's here. We talked about this many times with the Watson thing. It sort of bought them time. The injury thing sort of bought them time to do a short-term deal, which they did. All along you thought, well, there's no way they can sign Watson, Doubs, Reed, all three of those guys to long-term big money contracts. It just doesn't work that way. But now maybe there is a possibility that, that could happen. I mean, in talking to agents, they always talk about comps when it comes to contracts, comparable players. And Doubs's numbers, it's a hard comp because he's never had a 1,000-yard season, right? But he, in a lot of cases, is their go-to guy. So the closest comp that I could come up with was Rashad Bateman, the Ravens receiver, who I believe was in the same draft class, or maybe he was one. Maybe he was he was the year before Doubs. So they did the deal in June, and it's $36.75 million.
Yeah, so $12 million a year.
$12 million a year, right? So he's not in the 18 to 20 million category, which is which still is at the top of the receiver market. But Bateman is his career high in yards before this year. I think was 760 something, which is about where Doubs' best was. And to me, that's an interesting comp because it's not a blockbuster deal, but it's not nothing either, and. The agents that I talk to, when it comes to projecting things for their own clients, I mean, there's agencies that literally have their own salary cap guys, a couple of whom I talk to on a regular basis, that they're not agents, but they work for agencies, and their job is just to research contracts to find negotiating points for their agents to take with their clients to the teams to try to figure it out. And so I tried to play that a little bit myself the other day when I was doing the numbers on this, and Bateman might be, the best comp out there. And now the interesting thing about that is we know the Packers like to structure their contracts unless it's, the big time guys like Parsons or the quarterback, that all the guarantee is in signing bonus money, right? That's just typically how they do it. Well, Bateman's deal is interesting. It has $18 million in guaranteed, but only $8 million was the signing bonus. And then there's some base salary guarantees. We're getting into the weeds here probably too much, but to me, I guess my whole point of this is it's not as far-fetched and unreasonable to think that they could bring him back as I once thought it was.
So, Tausch, my question for you is, so Rob's comps that he has here, Rashad Bateman, 3 years, $36.75, so that's a little over $12 million a year. Khalil Shakir of the Bills, 4 years, $53 million, so that's a little over $13 million a year. If you can get Romeo Doubs at $13 million a year for 3 years. Are you signing him, Tausch?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
He's been that good. There's obviously the stuff that happened last year. But the thing is, and this is what I was just going to ask you, Rob, was when you do that, that contract is something that you feel all right with. And if you wanted to move on, you could. But when you make that, you then start looking at, well, where's Jaden Reed and Wicks? Yeah. Because you're not going to pay three or four guys. Now, this exactly. money here is third. This would be third receiver money at 13. Yeah. Your top number two is T. Higgins, and some of these other guys are in the upper 20s, low 30s, which he will not even – they won't even think. I don't even think they'll get to 20. I would think Doubs would be great if he could get anywhere in the high teens. I think him and his team would be very happy about that.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it goes back to the Jason Vrabel quote from a year ago training camp when we were talking about who emerges as the number one or number two. And it's whoever gets the contract, right? Like it's whoever we decide to pay. So, I think that's exactly what it is, Tausch.
All right, Rob, I'm not going to ask you for a prediction, but what do you think? Did the Flacco signing change your mind at all about what this game looks like? It did for me a little bit. What did it do for you as far as like prognosticating how this game's going to shake out?
Yeah, the only thing that I think it changed is just how the defense will have success. Like Evan Williams, I was talking to him sort of after the group dispersed the other day, and he was like, look, I was looking forward to playing Jake Browning because of his penchant for turning the ball over, and we need some takeaways, right? Like, I mean, I believe he was leading the league in interceptions, and obviously it's probably why they made this move away from Browning. And Flacco's one thing he's probably not going to do is turn the ball over a ton, so I do think it changes the game from that perspective. But beyond that, I still think it's going to be really, really hard for any quarterback to come in and have a lot of success under these circumstances. I know those receivers are outstanding, but still.
Rob, last thing for you from me. Is there an opponent that the Packers have history with during our time covering this team that's weirder than the Bengals games? That you had the miss off between Mason Crosby and Evan McPherson. Mm-hmm. You had the crazy man running out of the stands in Cincinnati and plucking the ball out of Favre's hand. You had Antoine Odom, who I think had like 7 career sacks, getting 5 in one game.
Yeah.
Like, isn't it something always weird happens?
Jason, was any of those games, or was this a different game? I believe it was the 2013 game where Jonathan Franklin, where they were just trying to run the clock out, and Jonathan Franklin fumbled the ball away, and the Bengals picked it up and scored.
Yes.
Was that any of those games, or was that a completely different game than any of those?
No, I think that's a different one, but that's in the mix too. Yes.
Right. That was not the Evan McPherson field goal miss game, right? No, that would have been too early for that. So, yeah, but, like, that's the one that you know, in addition to the ones you mentioned, come to mind. And then, I mean, we can go way back to, what was it, the Favre?
Kittrick Taylor.
Yeah, right. So, like, there's so many. It's interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way. But, that's probably true. There's some bizarre things that have happened between these two teams.
Well, we will see what Matt LaFleur has to say to you and the assembled beat writers, sans one, in a little while.
What do you want
here.
Me to ask him? I'll try to keep it shorter.
No,
tighten it up a little bit.
There you go. No, but as long as he doesn't say, you can't ask a question that's going to make me want to fight you, like Rich Bisaccia said yesterday, I think it's a win. So we'll see. Rob, we appreciate you, man. Thanks.
All right, guys. We'll be seeing you.
That is Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com. Again, you can read his piece about Romeo Doubs and his future with the team at ESPN.com and ESPNWisconsin.com. We got plenty more still to get to here in the 10 o'clock hour, but I have been telling you about this for a while, and it's getting closer. We've got the big meet and greet coming up soon. We are going to England, Scotland, and Wales with Collette, and it would be great if you would join us. July 5th, a journey through the lovely landscapes of England, Scotland, and Wales. It's a 10-day trip. It's going to be great. I'm leaving North America for the first time in my life, and hopefully you'll join us on that trip. We'll take in the charm of the countryside and the history of the great cities. Big Ben in London, Edinburgh Castle, which I'm learning how to pronounce correctly. Rich in history. It feels like you're stepping back in time. Tausch's favorite place, Shakespeare's Stratford-upon-Avon, and Chester, which is not the Chester that Bull Ryan is from.
Not
Plus
Avondale.
All those great scenic green hills that we'll be riding through on our way to the medieval city of York. Bustling, busy streets, countryside views, everything about Britain's history, culture, and beauty all on one trip. So here's what you got to do. Just text the word travel to 844-770-3776. Travel to 844-770-3776. Or just go to ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com. That's ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com to get more information. And again, one of my favorite places is Buck and Honey's, and we are doing our meet and greets on November 4th at 6 o'clock at Buck and Honey's in Monona, where you can get even more information about the trip. So again, go to ESPN Milwaukee Travel to find out more. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Thanks, as always, to Rob Domofsky. He joins us every Friday right before he talks to Matt LaFleur over at Lambeau Field. Time now, though, for our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week.
Don't sleep, you gotta stay up.
Hey there, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey.
Okay, campers, rise and shine.
It's time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week on Wilde and Tausch.
It's time for our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. We had a bye last week, although we did do our Sleepers of the Series for the Brewers-Cubs. Has Isaac Collins played?
He had a bunt.
Yeah, I think
he had that big hit. He had the big hit the other night. Did he not?
No, that was
to get on for Churio? Or was that somebody else?
I thought that was somebody else. I don't think Isaac Collins has done anything.
No, I've not done very well. Good thing that
not
doesn't
great.
Count in the standings. Should have gone
had
with
a, they had a veteran they could use in that spot.
My pick of Jacob Mizorowski could made or broke in about, 38 hours? However much
when are they? Oh, I'm not going to ask any questions about when they announce the lineups and pitching. I've learned my lesson. Not going to do that again. I got scolded last time.
I think I was the one who got the real repercussions of that, but that's okay.
No, I was scolded. Huh. All right.
By whom?
Jesse. When I anticipated that he would know, because he's our Brewers guy, like when they announced who was going to pitch and what. Oh, the roster setting week.
About
this time last week, matter of fact. So, lessons learned.
Isaac Collins went 0-for-1 against the Cubs in the 4-3 loss of Game 3.
That's not a great start for you, but you know what? If we're being honest, tomorrow is going to be the differential.
Anyone can be a hero.
Anybody that makes a game-winning play tomorrow or a series-winning will be the winner of this contest.
All right, well, we need to find out who's going to win this week with our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. Packers, Bengals, Tausch, you get to go first.
Yeah, it's Lucas Van Ness. He slept, did no stat line the last time around. I think everybody saw, was excited about it, the starting point and – yeah, obviously, Devontae Wyatt being out, I think his opportunities are going to go up. And I think he's going to have a day tomorrow. Cincinnati's not great, especially in the interior of their O-line. And I think it will Flacco, you know, if you can get aggressive with those wideouts, get quick pressure, I think Lucas Van Ness will have a day tomorrow. It's going to be definitely better than what he did against the Dallas Cowboys. And, again, this is an expectation game. Lucas Van Ness, my Steinhoffel's sleeper of the week.
Jesse.
I like defense in this one because of Flacco and how good the Packers defense was against him a few weeks ago. So I'm going to stay on that side as well. I'm going to go with a real sleeper here. I think Carrington Valentine is going to be my Steinhoffel sleeper of the week.
Yeah, he gets a pick and you win, I think.
And I think Cincinnati.
Not if Elvina is a strike.
That's true, but Flacco's going to take some shots downfield for those receivers, and Carrington Valentine might have a chance at a lollipop for a pick. So
a lollipop. Pick. I'm going to go back onto the offensive side of the football. Josh Jacobs had some production in the second half in the run game, but so did this guy, Emmanuel Wilson, who was productive and is a sneaky good number two running back. So I'm going to take Emmanuel Wilson as my Steinhoffel sleeper of the week. You can play along, of course, on our social media channels. So go to Wildy and Tausch on Twitter /X. And share yours, just as Jesse shares ours with you via the Wildy and Tausch account. Steinhoffel's is Wisconsin's furniture and mattress leader, and they are celebrating 91 years. It's where Homer got his first bed when they first opened. During their friends and family sale, you'll save 10% off store-wide, or you can take advantage of their 36-month 0% financing. Plus, take $91 off every $999 you spend. That's creative. And on top of that, you'll get a $200 MasterCard rewards card when you finance over $1,999. Celebrate 91 years of quality, value, and style in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. All right, we need to play trivia. I'm always confused when Jesse is on location and someone else is producing the program and, generally speaking, do a better job by doing so. Were you in charge of trivia? What's the situation here?
Of course I was in charge of trivia. I love trivia. I love making the trivia. And I make them a lot of times even when I'm not here, because that shows my dedication
erroneous.
To this show. Yeah. How hard I work.
Thank you for your service. What's today's category, then, and what caller do you want Hunter to take?
I forgot. Please let me look it up here for a second. Yeah,
so
the category
invested,
is,
you don't remember the category.
Winner take all Brewers games. This is a good category. A lot of good vibes.
Memorable.
Here. Winner take all Brewer games. Yeah. That's today's category, of course.
All right. It is game five that they'll be playing. So let's take caller five. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 5 plays Wildy and Tausch Trivia presented by Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. We'll play trivia next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
We roll on with Jesse and Tausch live from Zimbrick Chevrolet on Main Street in Sun Prairie.
Oh, the grill is rolling. Brats are frying. Lunch is coming.
That's why I'm here.
I love
it.
Oh,
we
good
know.
Brat fry.
Nothing. I mean, what's better than you got the general manager walking around in a hot dog costume, firing up brats and dogs and car sale. Like, how are you going to beat that? On a nice brisk
that's
fall
a great
afternoon.
Question. Hey, quick fashion question for you.
For who?
For you.
Sure.
Is that a new zip-up?
Yep.
It's nice.
That's really sharp. I like
that. It's been, I told you, I don't know if you've noticed. I think I've kept my streak going of something different for the last two or three. Since we, you know, my daughter kind of challenged me a little bit. And so I've been mixing up. And today, obviously, I went Brewer Blue.
Kind of looks more Honolulu blue to me.
You think this is Detroit blue?
It kind of. Yeah.
It's got a little Brewer blue though, doesn't it? And then if I go yogging after, I got the yogging part, which obviously I won't be doing. But if I did,
a little Detroit Lions-y to me.
We don't play the Lions this week, so what do I care? It's got. It was new, and it was blue, and it was Brewer-ish. So that's why I wore it.
And good for you.
Good one.
All right, let's play trivia.
Trivia contestant disconnected. So
what?
Yep, I literally just saw it.
Boy, this place with Jesse not being here, this place just go. I mean, we just fall apart, don't we? When Jesse wants to wolf down.
No, usually Jesse hangs up on people.
Well, yeah, so we're gonna. I think what I'll have to do here, we're gonna try this and see if this works. It was Sandy in Germantown. was our contestant.
Okay.
So let's see if we can get her to call back.
Do you want to go by proxy? I could be Sandy?
No.
No?
Yeah, I love that idea.
Did you get her number? We could call her.
Yeah, I'm going to do that, too. That's
okay.
I did do my job correctly.
So let's, otherwise,
Scott/Dave could step in and play.
And Mrs. Scott Dave, I think, is here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Mrs. Scott Dave showed up. What do you think her name is?
Betsy.
Mildred.
Ruth.
It's close?
Ruth.
What? Ruth?
Okay. Oh.
What does it begin with? Okay.
Ruth. Ethel.
Ethel?
Esther?
Esther! Let's go! Esther is definitely an older name. It's in the same category as Mark now. I mean, it's Esther and Mark. Ethel. I don't think there's a ton of Ethels out there either.
No.
Esther. Wow.
Dave and Esther are here. How about that?
Wait a minute. I've lost track now.
Scott and Ruth.
It's Scotty Ruth. That's their alter egos.
Yeah, it's
Dave and Esther.
Dave the real name. I've lost track.
Dave is the real name. Esther's the real name. And then it'd be Scott and Ethel. Hunter, how are we doing back there?
Called Sandy three times, went to voicemail right away, all three times.
Oh, boy.
All right, well, we'll see if we can fit trivia in a little bit later in the program.
Oh, end of show trivia.
No, we have Feel Good Friday
Rather
at the
not
end
do
of the
that.
Show. So, Tausch, take this opportunity to tell us about your love of Coors Lights, and we'll go from there.
You know what's great? Brat fries. Mm-hmm. Having a cold beverage with that brat. And, of course, there'll be Coors Light in my hand, brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lagered, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it is made to chill and make sure those mountains are blue. That's when you know the cold-activated bottles and cans are chilled to perfection, but make sure you celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado, and for Jesse, that one will be for you tomorrow night, right? Crack open that Coors Light.
Being at a wedding in Chicago – there's going to be, I hope, Coors Light available on tap throughout the evening for me to enjoy. And I got to figure out how we're going to watch this game during a wedding. That's going to be tough.
Are you anticipating being surrounded by a lot of Cubs fans at this wedding?
I know the groom, who is my friend from college, is a White Sox fan. The bride is a Cubs fan. So that could be a little tricky because I'm guessing much of her family will be Cubs fans.
But then they'll want to watch the game.
That's true. So if the let me tell you something.
You better bow up and be loud and proud Brewers tomorrow night. I don't care whose wedding it is.
He's going to cower.
Guys.
No, I'm saying like being loud. I'm not talking about like, oh, good job, Yelly. Like I'm saying Yelly does something big. You get up and root. I don't care if
like
the whole
the
crowd is Cubs.
Speech.
You need to be in the foxhole fighting.
So, first of all, I'm offended that you think I'm going to cower in this situation. I thrive in this situation.
You're a Bill Cower.
In this type of environment, surrounded by Cubs fans, potentially.
Okay.
One of the things I'm worried about, so I was, while Domofsky was on, I was looking at the photos of the venue we're going to be at to see what the bar situation looks like.
Glad you're paying attention to the show.
And there's one TV behind the bar, which I'm sure we'll have the game on, but it looks like there's not. It's not like a sports bar where there's TVs everywhere. This could be a big crowd around one TV. So I'm kind of nervous if
Well, you also have baby phone access.
I'm not watching Game 5 on the baby phone if I can
help
it.
You used to back at your house. You watched
not
the
game
Bucks.
Game 5?
You watched the Bucks clinch a championship.
Not arguably
on your
the
baby
biggest
phone.
Brewers playoff game ever.
Okay. Okay.
They played in a World Series, Jesse.
Oh,
come on.
That's Rich coming from you, who's already quit on the team.
Yeah, you did quit.
Okay, this is starting
I've
to
never
devolve.
Quit on
we
the team. I just expect them to actually play like a World Series caliber team.
Nervous energy.
The Sandy's 11 o'clock hour.
Sandy. I think we should just by proxy put Esther on us. She's right here.
Yeah.
I don't know the rules of
trivia. I say let's give Sandy till 11:30 to call back.
Otherwise, Esther's up.
Otherwise, Esther's in.
Yep. Seems reasonable. Yep. I love that these rules that you wrote, very strict.
ESPN Wisconsin.
And you just start making them up as you go along. It's impressive. The 11 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.